his body. He's talking about the holy place. And the holy place, there is a separation between God and the people of Israel. Amen? And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us, I want you to underline that word, let us, because that pertains to you and me. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us, that true word again, I want you to underline that, because it reminds you and me. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Wow, he who promised is faithful. And let us, there we go again, that word again, that two word. Underline that again. Or if you have a highlighter, you highlight that one. And let us consider how we spar. I think it comes from the word sparring. You know, you spur? Spur, okay. Whatever. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how we spur one another towards love and good deeds. Verse 25, let us, oh, there we go, that's another one. Let us, underline that if you have a pen. Do you have a pen? Do you need a pen? Who doesn't have a pen? Underline, because that's very important. If somebody asked you, is the Bible is for you? You said, you can open Hebrews chapter 25 at chapter 10. There's about four or three in there. Let us not give up meeting together, and as some are in the habit of doing. But, there's another one. But let us, underline that word again, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I believe that it's approaching. It's the day, the more that we are getting closer to that day, that the day of approaching is getting in there. So, that's, we will park there at verse 25. Okay? And the title of my message this morning is about what difference does the church attendance make? Do you have that air? Huh? Turn off? Oh, you just turn off? Okay. What difference does the church attendance make? See, what one of the greatest tragedy in this 21st century in America is the realism that millions of people who claim to know Christ rarely attend a local church or participate in the worship services. In so many American churches, a lot of people basically attend three times in their entire life. Three times. The first time is when they were born to be Christian, to be baptized. And the second time is when they are married. And the third time is when they are buried. In other words, first, when they are hatched, and then they were matched, and then they will dispatch. See, that's the only time. A lot of people in America, they see that they are Christian, but yet, most of them attend only three times in their life. When they are born, when they are hatched, and then when they get married, when they are matched, and then when they die, they will dispatch. But yet in the New Testament, If one consistently or deliberately missed the assembly, when I talk about the assembly, the local church. Okay, it doesn't mean that this church, it's the local assembly. And normally when we go on vacation, when it's Sunday, we will find a local church. Because you need to be in the local church. You need to be connected in the local church. And that one day a week. Okay? And in the New Testament, if you consistently miss the assembly, the coming together as a church, it was assumed that this person was no longer a following of Christ. That's what the New Testament believe. They assume that this person has gone back into the world and was no longer part of the local church. So in this case, New Testament Christian would eventually conclude that a person was no longer a Christ follower simply because he or she was no longer attending the local assembly. They saw the worship service not only as a privilege or a priority, but they saw worship as a solemn duty. But there are four times in the Hebrew that we read. How many words did you line up on that scripture that we read that says "lead us"? How many times did the writer of the Hebrews mention the word "lead us"? Five, four, five. What else? What you guys? The rest didn't line up their Bible. Did you line up your Bible? How many? Three? Two? Five? Four? Which one? Which one? Depending on the version. Five? Okay. So in my NIV version, I got four. Four, right? Okay, so but there are four times in the Hebrew in my NIV. I think New King James have five, and the New Living Translation have three. So it doesn't matter, but there is that word "lead us," right? Amen. "Lead us." The Hebrew writer uses that phrase "lead us" to appeal to the local congregation about being committed. About me being dedicated in their attendance to the local assembly or a church. Why? See, remember last week, first, to be successful in what we do this year, there's about four things that we learned last week. Anybody that are here last week? Anybody that are here last week? There are four things. Or five, to process how to be successful in whatever you do, either in your work, whether in your commitment to the Lord, or whatever you do, there are five processes that we learn. Right? There are five. Remember, first of all is that to establish the cause. What is the cause that you and I every Sunday? Is to go to church, right? Why? First of all, because in going to a local church, we exalt our Lord through worshiping together. That's our cause. The reason why we come, in order for us to be successful in our walk with God, in our attendance, is that because our cause is we want to exalt our Lord through the worshiping together. See? Jesus is everywhere since he is God, right? Believe that's what I believe. Because Jesus is omnipresent. So he is everywhere. So whether you're at home, you can worship at home, you can watch TV, right? In the car, you can listen to the tape. And then if you have a DVD in your car, And if you're driving, don't watch that DVD in your car because you might get an accident, right? But you can hear, and you can worship the Lord, or you can come to the local church. And that's what the Bible is saying. That not only that you can worship by yourself, because everywhere God is there with you, right? And then, but to exalt our Lord through worshiping together. Amen. Because there is a special sense in that Christ is in the house of God. Amen. In Hebrews 10, chapter 19, verse 22, do we have it there? It says, verse 19 says, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place of the blood of Jesus Christ by a new and living way, he inaugurated," this is a New Living Translation, "for us through the veil, that is his flesh." See, the veil, remember, in the Old Testament, the high priest, he could not get in there because there is a veil. He can get there in the Holy of Holies is that when only once a year, right? But then when Jesus Christ went to the cross for us, his body was turned, it was broken. And that it typifies or it represents or it gives us the example that the veil was broken from the top of the bottom. And that everybody that believed Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior could have an access to the Holy of Holies. Is that right? Amen? So it says, in verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil." Inaugurated for us. He made it possible for you and me through the veil, to that we can pass that veil. Amen? The veil, that is his flesh. See? "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean for evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water." You see, every time the high priest in the Old Testament come into that Holy of Holies, there is a mercy seat there that the high priest will bring a bucket of blood, and he sprinkled it there to the holy, half of that basin, half of that blood, sprinkled it to the outside, but half of that the blood was sprinkled in the mercy seat, so that whoever the God will able to receive that sacrifice. But now that Jesus Christ, and once and for all, God or Jesus Christ went to the cross for us, and his body was turned down, his blood was sprinkled in that cross, so that you and I, once and for all, you don't have to bring your own sacrifice, but because the body of Christ was given as a sacrifice for our sin. Amen? Can I say amen? So it says, let us draw near. When we draw near to him, it's a worship. Why do we meet Sunday? We draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not come to church primarily for a sermon, because the sermon is no good. Right? If you listen to Pastor Ed, the sermon won't do you anything. It just stir up your heart. So that when you go home, as you, Pastor Ed is saying, right? Right? So you don't go out, you don't go to church for sermon, because you can listen to the TV, right? You can listen to the tape, right? But you come to church because that's what God wants us to do. Amen? You don't even go to church to listen to the music, right? Especially when Pastor Ed is singing out of tune from the rest of the choir, right? So you don't go to church to fellowship with others or to give an offering. You don't go to church to give your offering. The overriding purpose of our coming together. And this is the cause. Right, Sister Beck? We need to establish the cause, right? If you were here last week, the first thing, in order for you and me to be successful in the year 2016, you have to establish the cause. And the cause is that we want to draw near to God. Man, I don't want to go to church. That means you don't want to draw near to God. Right? That means when He comes back, you're not going to draw near to Him. Because you don't even want to go to church. Right? So today, a lot of Christians, America express, I can worship Christ alone. I don't have to attend the church. Yes, Christians ought to worship Christ alone, but corporate worship is taught in the Bible. And together, as the body of Christ, we are commanded to draw near to Him as a corporate body. Amen? So the Hebrew writer says, where to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's referring to the Holy of Holies. That's the mercy seat. I have the Ark of Tabernacle, where the Holy of Holies displaced the Ark of Ark of Covenant. That's where the Holy of Holies. And every time I study, I look up that little miniature Ark. I should have brought it. It's a miniature, and that reminds me that I need to get in there. I need to get in because the Holy of Holies is that where the Shekinah glory is. And how many wants to see the Shekinah glory of God? And that when you come to His Holy of Holies, whoo, you feel like, God, you're there. And that should be the cause if you want to be successful in this year 2016. I want to draw near to Him. But I don't have a need. I can only draw near to Him when there's a need. No. That should be the first thing in your life. Even though you say, you know what, we have benefits. Man, David says, no, forget not your the benefits that we get. No. I want to draw near to Him. Right? I want to draw near to Him. So that's the first thing when we attend the local church, because we exalt our Lord through the worshiping. Amen? In other words, we are to come through the veil, into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. The high priest could only go there once a year. He went in there with the basin of blood. But then, can you imagine? See, the children of Israel, they were in bondage in Egypt, remember? Right? They had been in bondage for 500 years. And you may think, you know what, Pastor Ed, how many times you have to tell us about Egypt? Because the children of Israel went through that for 500 years. Do you know what? We are just like the children of Israel too. I don't think we have a difference. We are the children of Israel that in bondage, but now we have been delivered. We are brought to the promised land. Right? Amen. Can you just imagine the children of Israel when they were delivered from Egypt by who? By Moses. When they went out, the first tribe that they encountered was the Moabites, which is their, also they are related. But then the Moabites slaughtered them, killed them. A lot of people died, the Jewish children of Israel. But then God says, you know what? I just delivered a baby. And now this baby, He's talking about his children, the children of Israel. But now, they don't know how to fight. They don't have a weapon, because all they do in Egypt is to make a brick. But then the Moabites slaughtered them. And God was really furious to Moabites. And then God slaughtered them too. But then can you imagine Can you imagine the Moabites when they brought these children of Israel and in the desert, and then they were moving, and then God gave them the tabernacle of Moses, that every time the sun moved, they move, right? If the clouds move, they move that too. But then the Moabites, I'm just giving you a scenario. Moabites will say, you know what? He will ask the Jewish people, what do you guys have? Oh, the children of Israel will say, that's the tabernacle. That's we worship. And the Moabites say, yeah, I want to go there. No, you cannot go there because only the Jews can get in there. Oh, I want to be a Jew. I want to go there too. No, you can't go out there because you have to bring a sacrifice. I want to bring a sacrifice. I want to go in there. No, you can, because there's only one person can get in there. And the high priest. No, so I want to be, so how can I get in there? The Jewish people will say, you know what? You need to be born again. Right? You need to be born again in a Jewish culture, or else you cannot go there. I want to be born again. How do you do that? Oh, you have to be, you need to do this purification process. Can you imagine that? And now, everybody wants to go in there. But this, you know what? You cannot get in there because you only get there once a year. Oh, maybe if I go there, I want to go there every day. But God, no, you cannot go there because you only go there once a year. So there are so many. But now in Jesus Christ, he says, you know what? Once and for all, Jesus Christ, when you receive him, you follow him, and then when he comes, you can see, I want to draw near to God. Amen. So that's the reason why that we can go and draw near to him. The Hebrew writer reminds us to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the high priest could get into the tabernacle. So it's still, the veil was made for many colors. The body, the veil that separate the people, the high priest from the Holy of Holies, is that it's made up of so many colors. It's made up of snow white, sky blue, blood red, crimson, and royal purple. So those are colors that, you know, it's blend together. They are mixed together, and the veil picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he would lift up the corner of the veil and slip under there. And there are four gospels. This gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew speaks of Jesus Christ as the King. The emphasis in the book of Matthew is that Jesus is a heaven's King. So Matthew color would royal purple. The color of Matthew is royal purple. Mark speaks of Jesus as the suffering servant, as the Son of Man who shed his blood. Mark's color would be blood red crimson. Luke speaks of Jesus Christ as the virgin-born Son of God from the heaven. So this is the sky blue gospel. And John speaks of Jesus Christ in his absolute deity, his senselessness. And that's the snow white gospel. So this is the portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get the purple? One has a combined red and blue, and then it becomes a purple. Once you have a purple, you cannot tell whether the blue begins nor where the red ends. They are all mingled together. So when you look up Jesus Christ, you witness that he is both Son of God and a Son of Man at the same time. So his deity begins where his humanity ends, which it never does, nor his deity ends, which he never does. The veil is a wonderful picture of Christ, because that's his body And that's always remind us that through the veil, that's where we can get in and draw near to Him. Draw near to God. Amen? Draw near to Him. And then He say, what did He say? And He will draw near to you. He said, make your first move. Because I already make a move when I came here into this world. Amen? Not only that we exalt Him, we worship Him. When we draw near, we exalt our Lord through worshiping together. But number two is that we evangelize the lost through the witnessing together. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. See, it's interesting that sometimes the candle, the light, it's not really lighting up, but it's simmering, right? So it says the wavering refers to the ceasing of going to church. Can you imagine that? The wavering refers to the ceasing of going to church. Did you know that when you come to church, you're professing your faith? It is your way of saying, I still believe in Jesus Christ. Right? When you come to church, it's just like you're professing your faith. It is your way of saying, I still believe in Jesus Christ. See, in the New Testament era, when people cease coming to the assembly, Christians assumed that they have gone back to the world. Forsaking the assembly was an indication to these early Christians that people forsaking that they don't believe or they cease to come to the church. Forsaking the Lord. If you don't believe this, then look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, 39. It says, do we have that there? It says, you have your Bible with you? I want you to look up Hebrews 10, 38 to 39. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 10, 38 to 39. You're there? Brother Wayne, what do you have in there, Brother Wayne? Okay. So in essence, the Lord is saying, you say that you believe in me, but you shrink back. You haven't pleased me. Yet we are not of them who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. How important is it for Christians to be faithful to the local assembly? If a person is willingly and consistently forsaking the assembling of himself or herself, then he or she cannot claim to be true to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and the church are not identical, but they are inseparable. Christ could not separate from the church because that's his body. The Bible, the church, is giving us three figures. The church is a body, a bride, and a building. As a body, Christ is the head. We're the members. Now the head and the body are not identical, but they are inseparable. Can you imagine a body functioning properly without the head? Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is the bride, which is his bride. And so they too become flesh. The church is also a building. This building rests on a foundation. If we were to take the building and separate it from the foundation, or the foundation from the teachers, give me the motivation to follow through in my personal commitment to Christ. With a revival of faithful church attendance nationwide, we would also witness a rapid increase in the number of people coming to Christ. See, when there is a universal or nationwide revival, it will witness a rapid increase in the number of people coming to Christ. Amen? So it's evangelized. When we come to church, it evangelizes the lost through witnessing together. When we see people, when people see a lot of people are lining up in the church, that will witness to them and even stir them up, encourage them to come. Amen? But I believe there's a universal decrease in coming to Christ. Amen? And that's the mean, the irony that the church is going through is that because there's a decrease in people going to church. So, not only our cause is we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ worshiping together, and then number two is that we evangelize the lost through witnessing together, and number three, we encourage our leaders through working together. In verse 25 of chapter 10 in Hebrews, it says, not forsaking our own assembling together. Is that the one that we have? Verse 25, together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the drawing near. So, we have the responsibility, not only a believer, but as a brothers and sisters. How can we encourage one another? How we are to exhort one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And that's why, before we start the service, Sister Becky or whoever is here, they always encourage us, do you have anything that you can share to the church? Because we need to be encouraged. Amen? We need to be, we're living in the world that it's hopeless. All you have is discouragement. And if we don't practice in here in the church, where do you think we can get an encouragement? Because when you go home, you got a spouse that did I open that one? Sometimes you have a child. Wherever you go. So if we don't start in the church, if we don't practice in the church, where else we can get an encouragement? Amen? So when we come together in order, if we attending the local church is to encourage the leaders. I remember when Sister Rose invited me to Jack Hayford Ministry in 1979. That's our first date in the church on the way. But then Pastor Jack Hayford called invitation to those who wants to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So Sister Rose, he used this knee and those elbows. So I went. I feel convicted, I went up front and they pray for me. But then when I turn around, there's about three or four men behind me. And then when I turn around, you know, they give me a hug and say, you know what, brother, it's welcome to the family of God. And with all of this encouragement that I have, I said, I'm in the right place. I am in the right house. And that's how I started my journey. Is that when somebody come and receive the Lord, you know, you feel like, man, you feel encouraged that I am in the right family of God. Amen. We need to encourage one another. Amen. See, by participation, that's why it's important to, you know, those things that we practice. And but see, the things that we practice, we just shake hand and then go back to our wherever we sit, and then we don't do that again until we come back again next Sunday. But I think it's nice to to practice it. Right, John? So it's important to practice, to encourage one another. Amen? So not only that we worship the Lord, we exalt the Lord when we come together on Sunday service, and then not only number two is that we evangelize the lost through witnessing together, and number three, we encourage our leaders through working together, right? And lastly, that's my last. I got three. Amen. So I forgot. I thought I got four. See, I got five last week. I got five last week. And today I said, you know what? Rose says, you know what? It's bitter. It's the principle of KISS. You know, KISS. It says, keep it simple and short. Amen? So, attending the church, it has three simple reasons. Right? First, we have to exalt our Lord through worshiping together. We evangelize the lost through witnessing together and encourage our leaders through working together. Amen? Amen. Shall we all stand? Sister Rose, I keep it short and simple. Oh, hallelujah. See, last week, my desire is that you and I will be successful in this year 2016. And that the first thing that I remember is that we need to establish the cause, right? And then our cause is we want to draw near, getting closer to the Lord. Amen? And then the next steps in getting closer to the Lord is to examine our condition. Know where we are with God. And where are we going? Right? Know where we are with God. What condition are we in our life? And we know where we're going. And number three, encourage our confidence. That our confidence is the one that's gonna bring us closer to the Lord. And then enforce our character. And then last, enlist our compadres and comadres. Amen? You know, sometimes we feel, you know what? We need to evangelize somewhere else. We need to evangelize. We go to the street. But I think, I believe that we need to reach out our comrades, our compadres or comadres, because that's where we are close to those relatives that we have. Amen. So those are I'm trying to tie the message that we have last week and this week, because I want us to be prosperous this year 2016. And the thing that will help us is that, because first thing that we need to know is that what makes us wake up in every morning? Is there any reason why do you have to wake up in the morning? Because if you don't have a reason, the alarm clock, it doesn't matter. Right? But if you have a reason, you have a cause, then you are encouraged, or you are I forgot it. You are excited to wake up every morning. Right? Yeah. But if you don't have a cause, no matter what time, you can wake up at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter. Because you don't know, you don't have a cause. You just, kesira sira, whatever will be. Right?
Amen.
So that's a very important thing in order to be prosperous this year. And the message that we have this morning, the cause that we have as a church may be different than what you have. A personal, in your, whatever cause you have, it's different. But as a church, but as a member of this church, our cause is to draw near to God. Because He will draw near to you.
Amen.
Amen? Shall we pray? Lord, we thank You this morning. Thank You for giving us this message, Lord, so that there will be a clear purpose, a clear cause that we are here this morning. Because we want to draw near to You, Lord. And that You already drew near to us, Lord. When You came into this world, You make Your move, Lord. You started it, Lord God. And now it's up to us, Lord, to draw near to You. And Father, we thank You, God, for every person that stands before You today. That there is a clear message that we can even write it in a piece of paper. That nobody will forget it, Lord. But if we forget it, there's somebody that will remind us, Lord, that our cause for this year is to draw near to You. Because You draw near to us already. And Father, we thank You, God. Thank You for this message, Lord. And we pray that it will be engraved in our heart, Lord God. Lord, we thank You. And we praise You, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,